Good to see all of you this morning. And, it's not like coming home, but it's good to see family here and all of you, and a big Mother's Day. I tell you what, just happy Mother's Day to all of you, young mothers and my wife and my daughters. You're mothers. You're not little girls anymore. And it's good to see all of you here. This morning, I'm going to share a little bit. It was kind of unique when Tommy called me. He didn't call me. He texted me. He knows how to text. You know, we text back home, too, a little bit. And so I knew what he wanted. I figured that. Usually when I get a text from Tommy, he usually has problems with his lawnmowers, or he wants me to preach. So that's good. I'm always glad to hear from Tommy. Appreciate him. And it was kind of unique. Like I studied these verses that I'm going to preach about this morning, even before Tommy called me. So I put it into a message, and it's connected to Mother's Day. I always like to read about the things that we're facing, and it was come Mother's Day. So I was Mama's boy, and I was kind of in the middle of 10 of us growing up. And I had two older brothers that worked with my dad, and I worked with Mom a lot. She had the chickens and also a big garden, so I worked with Mom quite a bit. I learned to appreciate my mom, but she's gone now, like Jerry was saying. She's probably about 6 or 7 years ago, I guess. Through about 3 years in a row, I think it was, that Martha and I, that our parents just kind of, one of them went right down the road. Just 1 year at a time, we lost one. In 3 years in a row, so they're all gone. Mom and Dad from Martha and I are gone. So I guess we're the older people now. So, you know, what I think about death, when it mothers are special, when I think about death and go to funerals, and there's a lot of funerals, and I'm sure we've all been to them, what do you think about is you just maybe appreciate each other a little bit more while you have each other, amen? I think that's what it's meant to be. Because it reminds us that we don't have a continuing city here. And I want to say, too, I appreciate my wife. I think it's coming on 43 years here before too long, towards fall. And I think I'm right on that. But what I want to talk about this morning, then, is found in chapter 3 in Peter 1. Peter, 1 Peter, chapter 3. I got some new thoughts from this chapter here. I noticed a couple of verses. In the beginning of this chapter, I'm preached from the King James. It says, likewise. And a preacher told me a long time ago, many years ago, when you see likewise, you go back and see what the verses before that is. And if you go back to 21, in chapter 2, I think is what he's talking about. And it puts this chapter in perspective, I think, what Peter was talking about. And when I think about the home, it's kind of the home and the wives and the husbands and the family. It's kind of all connected together. When I think about this, I wonder why so many marriages are so unhappy. There's so few happy marriages that you talk about. You know, you listen to stories about. And you wonder how come it is that way. Because I wondered this morning, you know, us guys, if you could change our wives' thinking or anything like that, what do we want? Like if we would have made, if we would have had any hand in making our wife, we had a hand in it choosing her, I realize that. But how would you challenge God? What did he do wrong or what should he have changed? And I thought about that. As we go back and think about verse 21 and on down and through the down through to chapter 3, as we think about that, there's verses in the Bible that says we've all born in sin. That shouldn't shock us. There's not one person exempt. We were born altogether in sin, and we need help. And the problem is, I think, that so many marriages are unhappy is that we get the idea when we get married that we can change our wives, or a wife can change her husband. You might as well, young people, there's a lot of young people sitting here this morning, you might as well not do that. Because it don't work. It absolutely don't work. There's only one person that can change a life. That's the Lord Jesus Christ can only change the hearts of people. Amen? That's the only one. Because I think that's why so many people are unhappy in their marriages, because they think they can change people. It don't work. I've tried it. I'm sure my wife has tried it. It don't work. And I think people are still doing it today. So here is, I think, what Peter said in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, likewise, ye wives, being subject to your own husbands. Now, let's go back to see what he says in 21. And you notice, likewise, verse 7 has a likewise as well. This is not only for the women. It is for the men as much as the women, this chapter. There's nobody exempt from it. In verse 21 in chapter 2, it says, for even hereunto where ye were called, because Christ also suffered for us. Right there you go. Leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. So we need someone to follow. We need to follow. We follow maybe our dad or our mom or grandpa or grandma. You know, we have someone that we always looked up to. We want to follow them. But when it comes for a marriage relationship, you must follow Christ if you want a happy home. If you're happy the way you are, trying to change each other, hey, have at it. It's your life. Verse 22, who did no sin? Neither was guile found in his mouth. And I think that breaks up more homes with the words that are spoken. Jesus said there was no guile found in his mouth. Who did no sin? Neither was guile found in his mouth. Verse 23, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Verse 24, who in his own self bore our sins in his body on a tree, that we being dead to sins. Dead to sins means what it says. It means dead to sins. Live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Now, likewise, ye wives, go back to verse 21 and see what he's talking about. In my top of my Bible, it says the behavior of wives and husbands. It says, likewise, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. I tell you what, this morning, mothers and wives, grandmothers, you're very powerful. God has made you that way. You're very powerful. You know, when we talk about mothers, you know, we get emotional. It's something about mama. You know, I know in our family, Martha's got a lot of respect in our family. It's just the way it is. And she earned it. While they behold your chastened conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or putting on apparel. Now he says, wow, that's picking on the women. Just hold on. But here is the key verse in this chapter. Do we understand this chapter? Here's the key verse. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. Let your heart be changed by Christ. And it will show. It will make you beautiful. You don't have to put a lot of things on you to make you beautiful. Let that hidden man of the heart, let Christ dwell in you. It is what makes you beautiful, men and women both. People that are fun to be with, people that are encouraging. It is Christ that changes the lives of the people. And it says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. It can't be corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. You know, as God looks down, he see a person change, he see the women change and the men change by the power of his son, Jesus. It says it's a great price. God loves to watch that. He just loves to see people being changed by his son and his precious blood. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God They adorned themselves. So it's not saying that you can't get all shined up and all cleaned up. That's not what he's talking about. But the main thing is that you first get your heart right with Christ. That's what he's talking about. You become a Christian and you follow Christ. And then he's talking about even the old times, way back in the old times, like Sarah, Abraham's wife, says she adorned herself. They adorned themselves, but they were still subject unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Then we say, well, now it's well done. We talk to the women, but look what it says. Notice that. Pay attention. Likewise, ye husbands. What I read this morning, this chapter right here down to verse 3-6 is talking to the husbands the same way as it's talking to the wives. Same thing. We need a heart change. Dads need a heart change. Young boys need a heart change. Grandpas need a heart change. We all do. There's no difference. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. And I think that's what we do. We need to. I tell you what, this morning, you godly women, I honor you. And we should. Young girls, we honor you. We should respect you. That's the way it is. They've made a choice in their life to follow Christ. And we respect you, honor you. According to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. I've heard a lot of stories about this verse already, but I simply believe when he's talking about a vessel, he's talking about a body. I always explain it this way. I can pick up 75 pounds and my wife picks up 50. I'm stronger than what she is. And that's what a vessel is. You're the weaker vessel. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That's one thing that's very important, people, that we get along with each other, even though we don't always agree, but we agree to disagree and realize we come from a different background, we come from a different home, but we have to learn how to get along. Because our children pick that up and they'll follow those steps. Do you think that's the right way to go? It makes children very uncomfortable when there's arguments and tongue lashings in our homes. It makes them very uncomfortable. I can truly stand here this morning and tell you that I have never heard my dad say an unkind word to my mom. I would say he probably did, but he was very careful. He would have never done it if he did. In front of the children. I never heard it. And we all agreed, all of our children, my brothers, the siblings there, we all agreed that we never heard. Now, it was the other way around. Mom, I heard Mom do that to Dad. But I never heard my dad say an unkind word to my mom. Dad became very precious in our home. It's because the way he treated our mom. If you want to be a king in your home, you better treat the queen like a queen. Amen? Respect. And those things work. Those things go on generations. That's teaching. That's respect. Verse 9, a couple more verses here I want to read, then we'll go to 31 in Proproverbs. In verse 9 it says, not rendering evil for evil, and that often happens, not railing for railing, but conservation, being knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. If you want a blessing, don't want your prayers hindered. In verse 7, also verse 9, these two verses go hand in hand. You don't win a battle by arguing. You don't win that battle. Somebody has to give up. Somebody has to just be quiet. And I think that's why so many people, here a while back, a young person, he's got three children now, and I'm not sure what his relationship is with Christ at all, but he said, you know, my wife is going through depression, and he's hardly ever home. He works, and he works a lot, and says, I don't know what to do. And he went on and on and on and on. He says, sometimes I wonder if it's really worth it to stay married to her. And I know him fairly well. And I just let him talk and let him talk. Then he said, and I said, are you asking me for advice? Then he said, you have any? I says, yeah, I do. He says, what is it, Sam? I said, spend some time at home. The first start. He didn't want to hear that. I says, you married your wife, not your job. Working 2-3 jobs, never home, and his wife is going through that. Us men have responsibilities as Christian husbands. You know what? If you don't supply the needs for your family, spiritual as well as physical, you're worse than an unbeliever. That's the word of God. It's very powerful. God has, the church is pulled out of the family. The family is trained by the Bible. They come into the church for worship. That's what God says, that's the apple in his eye. Spend time together. And I always say, husbands, you want to keep your wife, treat her like you did before you married her. Didn't take a whole lot of money back then, right? They wanted your time. They wanted your time. It's very simple. It's cheap. They want your time. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 31, the closing. I'm going to read some verses here, chapter 31, verse 10. I'm going to skip over some verses here. Verse 10, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. You know, it's a blessing to go to work as a husband when you have little children. And you know that your wife is taking care of the children. She meets you at the door when you come home and makes you feel welcome home. That's the best part in life, is when the children are small. Martha and I experienced that. We experienced that. Little children are a blessing. They're not a burden. They're a real blessing. And it's what you make out of life is what you get. And it's such a blessing to have someone you can trust. Not everybody has that. Some, the day in our day, I realize that. But when I was young, like a lot of you guys are with little children here, there was no babysitters. Today there's places you pay somebody to raise your children. If it's not a place where you can drop them off, it's grandma or somebody, and they're raised with electronics, then we wonder how they turn out the way they turn out. The Old Testament says that we should write things on our doorposts. We should never leave them friendless before their eyes. We should train them in the morning and at noon and when we lay down. That's God's word. There's no better teacher than mom and dad for their own children. Amen? Because you love them. You brought them into this world and you need to spend time with them. Maybe you're not used to that kind of preaching, but I'm an old-fashioned preacher. I know it works. It worked in my family and it will work for yours. It's God's word. Verse 20, it says, she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hand to the needy. That's the wife. She is not afraid of the snow. I know the south, you don't have snow. For a household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates. And that's very powerful. I'm known where I work because Martha can bake good rolls, cinnamon rolls. And they know it. They love it. You compare hers with the stuff you buy in the store, and I know he got good cooks. We have that heritage in the Mennonite faith. You know, we are blessed people. We are blessed. Mama's taught you how to cook. You realize how many people don't know how to do that. You just grow up with it. And it's a real blessing. You know how to do it because mama taught you. A lot of people don't have that. A lot of young people don't have that. They don't have that in the world. But us as Mennonite people and the Amish background, we are taught that. And it's a real blessing. We need to carry that on. So why is your wife known? What is your mama known for? Your husband is known because of her sitting at the gate. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Verse 28, it says, her children will rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Talk about praising her. You know, when your wife cooks a meal, mother cooks a meal, grandma, your wife, it's real good. When you walk away from the table, do you thank her for that meal? Maybe you don't, but today would be a good day to start. Not only on Mother's Day, but every time. I believe in that. I really do. That is one way that we can learn how to praise our wives. Her children rise up and they call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. It says, and my daughters have done virtuously. They've done well. But the wife excels them all. Tell you something that my dad used to tell us when he picked my mom out of, and I think there might have been six girls in that family, when he picked my mom, somebody asked him one time, he says, with all them girls in the family, how did you know which one to pick? And he said, he thought for a little bit, and he said, he watches which one cut the biggest piece of cake. That was my mom. That's what he said. Then he laughed about it. But he had, you know, why didn't you pick who you picked? Think about it. And I think that's what husbands are responsible, because they're the ones that picked them out. They're the ones that come up and picked them out. Yep. I came down, some come up, and some come over, and some come wherever, you know. Verse 30 and 31 yet. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I tell you what, this morning we praise you. We praise you this morning. And the Bible says that we should. For your responsibility that you've taken, knowing Christ, and your role in your home. We praise you. She shall be praised. Don't forget that. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. In my closing thoughts, I like to say this. All the praise that a woman gets, it's all because of forgiveness of Christ. All the glory goes back to Christ on the cross. That's where it all goes to. We have nothing to boast. Husbands and wives, we have nothing to boast. It's all because the finished work of Calvary and the blood that was shed on that cross. He paid for a debt that you and I owed. We could never pay it. To set you and me free. Don't ever forget that. That's what makes mothers beautiful. That's what makes husbands beautiful and respectful. Is through the precious blood of King Jesus. In His grace. I love His grace. What about you? It's a beautiful thing. It's a thing that we can say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, but I said it. I'm sorry. Then make a difference. That's God's grace. You're not three strikes, you're out. We're not playing ball. Christ didn't play ball with us. His grace would endure forever. I put down two things that I think that really hinders the marriage. The number one thing, everybody wants their own way. That is our nature. I want what I want. And I'm not going to change. That's number one problem. When you got married, You probably didn't realize it, but you committed yourself 100% to your mate and her needs. That's from husband to wife, and a wife to husband as well. It's not 50-50. This is not a partnership. This is a lifetime commitment. Commitment, bound, for the words we have spoken. Better off or worse. You may have to push somebody with a wheelchair. You promised that. You don't know. You know, we promised that. We didn't realize that when we were careless and young. But we promised those things, for better or for worse. That's the number one thing. We want our own way. I can't put up with it. My wife is not happy. I ain't going to put up with it. You need to put up with it. We need to make a difference. Maybe it's you're the problem that she's not happy. Number two is what I put down. We know we got a problem in our home. We know we do. If this fits you, think about it. Do you want to fix a problem by fixing your mate? I tell you what, this morning, people, you cannot fix somebody else's problem. You have to fix your own through Christ. Try it once. That is a problem in the marriages in America. You know everybody else's problem, and I know everybody else's problem, and their weaknesses. But I try to fix them instead of my own. Let Jesus fix your problem, if you have one. Amen? May God bless you for listening this morning, and it's good to be here, and trust you have a good day. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you have all the glory and all the honor for this service. Bless the young girls. Bless the children. Bless the mothers and bless the grandmothers. Give them a good day. We honor them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.